At this time, I want to introduce, and it's my great pleasure to introduce, Dr. Dan Keating. He is a resident of Lansing. In fact, the cathedral is his home parish. He has been doing student work in discipleship and evangelization for 35 years. Let's give a warm welcome to Dr. Dan.
Thank you very much. Wow. This is quite a crowd. Hello over there. I was standing over there earlier and I realized you can't quite see, so I'll try to lean over this way a little bit. I've got the post-lunch session. And it's kind of hot in here. I might take my jacket off at some point. Feel free to take yours. I was thinking, I came in just as you were doing this game of the one arm, two arm, no arm. I think at the end of my session, we're going to bring up the seven people who still have their heads up. And they'll get a prize for staying awake for the whole session. So my topic is discipleship. I'm very honored and humbled, by the way, to be here and to address this remarkable assembly today. I think this work is tremendously important, and I think this topic is tremendously important. Very, very important for making ground and really building up the way of life of the diocese and its parishes. Let me point out to you now the intended takeaway. If you look at your program, you'll see on page 10 a set of things that are the intended takeaway. I've got those in mind. I'll be speaking to them, although it's not exactly my outline, and referring to them a few times as we go. My aim here this afternoon is to persuade you of three things. I'd like to persuade you of three things. I'm actually quite confident that almost all of you are already persuaded of these things, which makes my task really easy. I'm very likely to succeed. But I want to deliver it in this way because I think it will allow me to say it in the way I'm supposed to say it and help you hear it in a good and helpful way. So, three things that I would like to persuade you of. First of all, that the church, and that means all of us here, are called to make disciples. The church is called to make disciples. Secondly, that we need to be trained in discipleship, and that the goal of that training is mature discipleship. We need to be trained in discipleship so that we reach the goal of becoming mature disciples. Thirdly, that we are called to embrace missionary discipleship. The disciple of Christ is always on mission. So these are the three things. I really didn't try to work it out that way, but it just so happens that my three things all begin with the letter M. The making of mature missionary disciples. And the way that Craig has outlined this, I think it's mercy on me, but especially on you. We're going to do this in three parts with little breaks in between, quick groups, so that you don't have to listen too long to any one thing. So this first part is the making of disciples, and let's go ahead and jump right into that. Making of disciples. Matthew 28:19. Jesus says, at the end of the gospel, the last words he says to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is why I'm pretty sure you'd be persuaded of my first point, because Jesus just says that, doesn't he? Go and make disciples. A few comments on this passage. The word make disciples here is actually one word. It's not two. In English, it's two. In the Greek, it's one word, and it's the verb to disciple. Go, therefore, and disciple all nations. Matthew happens to be the only evangelist who uses this word to describe what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Strikingly, he uses the same word back earlier in chapter 13 when he says, and many of you will remember this passage, when he says, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of God, the word trained there is the word discipled, every scribe who has been discipled or trained for the kingdom of God is like a householder who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. I like this translation because what it says is that discipleship involves training. We're meant to disciple all nations, and that involves an aspect of training. Okay, I'd like to say three things briefly. I've got a monitor up here that's clicking down even as I speak, so I've got to be brief. Three things I want to say about this opening section about the making of disciples. First thing to say, it's essential that we remember that it is Christ who truly makes disciples. Christ is himself the great discipler. I think we know that, but it's worth emphasizing. The fundamental one who makes disciples is Jesus Christ. And a really important consequence of that is this: discipleship must always be discipleship to the person of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Discipleship must always be to the person of Jesus Christ. We don't disciple people fundamentally to the church. We don't make them disciples of the church. The church is the context for our discipleship. People become disciples of Jesus Christ. We certainly don't disciple people to ourselves. That would be a horrible thing, making disciples of ourselves. That can be a temptation, I think. That doesn't mean that we don't imitate people. Paul even says, imitate me. We have the lives of the saints. We look to the holy ones. We have models among us, but discipleship is to the person of Jesus Christ. One further thing follows. To enter into discipleship is to be entering into a formative relationship with Jesus Christ himself. This is what we're inviting people into. We're saying, come enter a formative discipleship with Jesus Christ. And we see this on the pages of the Gospels. What happens to those early followers? Come and see. Come and see the one we have heard about. Jesus invites them to come follow him, and they take up and they come to live with him. They enter into a formative relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. We're not walking around Jesus on the roads of the Holy Land any longer, but we are still really taking up a posture of discipleship to the person of Jesus Christ. That's so crucial. So this is my first point. Second point, though Christ is the great discipler, we have a crucial role to play. Jesus does, after all, say, you go make disciples. He doesn't say, I'll go make disciples and you collect up a few of them and feed them a bit, but you go make disciples. It's quite forward. It's quite strong. We have a role to play. And I'm reminded here when Paul says in 1 Corinthians, one plants, another waters, but it is God who gives the growth. We have a real role of making disciples. You know, I say this because there are two kinds of people in the church. I say this jokingly, but in a sense there are. There's one kind of person in ministry who I would call the, it'll all work out fine, never mind. It'll all work out. It'll just work out. And people like that are so charming. They aggravate me, but they're so charming. Like, gotta work it out, it's all fine. And you go, yes, but... And there's a way in which they don't really want to get very involved. They don't want to take up a role. It's a bit like, well, we're here kind of doing a few things, but it's all God's work. Absolutely, it's God's work. But sometimes I think in that posture, there's a little bit of presumption that we don't have to take up that role of cooperation that God's actually called us to. When we look at the Apostle Paul, he was a rather active fellow, called himself a master builder. Now, there's another kind of person in the church. They're the ones that hear Matthew 28:19 and say, thanks for that commission, I'm off to do it. And they run off as if they could do it. We're going to do it, we're going to get the strategies, we're going to do the sociological studies, we're going to do it. You go, no, you're not. Christ is the great discipler. Remember the other part of that passage. Lo, I am with you even to the close of the age. So there's this profound sense of cooperation with God being the primary actor, Christ being the great discipler. But we have a very crucial and active role to play. And this is the first thing I would like to persuade you of, that we're called to make disciples, that Christ is the great discipler, but we're meant to work with him and help make disciples. I'm jumping ahead a bit, but the second part of the talk will be on what that means. We can't make disciples unless we become disciples. Unless we've entered into that, we can't help make them. So these are my first two points: Christ the great discipler, and we have a key role to play. My third and final point: everyone is called to set out on the road of discipleship. It's a road for everybody. Discipleship isn't for the chosen few, the special ones, the really good people. Discipleship is the fundamental call of the Christian. You know, you might say, what's the basic call of the Lord? We're called to love God and love one another. But I've always been impressed by that passage where the man comes up and says to Jesus, you know, what are the greatest commandments and what am I called to do? And the Lord lays them out and speaks about the commandments. And then he says, and come follow me. Come follow me. If you'd be perfect, come follow me. How do we live out the commandments to love one another? We become a disciple of Jesus Christ. How do we love God and love one another? In the age of the church, we become disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the call for everyone. Now think about this. It's a little bit like the call to holiness. Vatican Council stressed this universal call to holiness. All are called to holiness, not just the special few. Everyone's called to holiness, but we're also then called to become what we are. We're made holy by the grace of God, by our baptism. We're made holy, but then we're called to become what we are. We're called to become holy, even though God's made us that way. In a sense, by virtue of becoming a Christian, by being baptized, we are a disciple, but we're called to become that which we are. There's a road and a training in discipleship to become what we are. All are called on that road. And we'll say more about this as we go just this afternoon. Obviously, there are very different paces, different strides, different paths. There's not one. All are called to become disciples. All right, so this is my first aim, to persuade you that all are, that we're called to make disciples and to offer these comments about what the making of a disciple looks like. We're a little bit ahead. Might be the last time that happens. It's probably okay. I'm going to have us jump right now to our circle conversations. Good. We're going to put those questions up here. I believe you're meant to do this at your table, and they have 13 minutes. Not 14. 13 minutes. This is a really tight bunch here. Craig, are you German back there? Are you just not? Wow. Okay. Here are the questions. And I mean this seriously. Do you really believe that we're called to make disciples? That that's what the church is called to do, that that didn't end in the first generation or something. We're really called to make disciples. And the implication is, and you got to be one to make one. And that all are called to be disciples. Do we really believe that? If so, what does this mean for how we work with people in the parishes? What are some of the consequences? Okay, so that's the first question. And you might stay with that the whole time. Second question. Which of the points that I gave about making disciples do you think needs the greatest attention or emphasis right now? You say, yeah, those are helpful things, but it's this one that I think is really important for us, or that one, and why. Third, if you get to this is just for the quick groups that eat up the first two questions. What do you think are the two most important things a pastoral team can do to help people grow in discipleship? It says two, I would say one to two. What do you think are the one to two most important things someone can do to help someone grow? You might not get to three. We'll get to that later if not. So especially hit one and two, and we'll see you in about 13 minutes. Okay, we'll call you back.